Let's pray together, then we'll read just for a moment. Father, I come to us now. Well, Lord, we thank you for all that you are, all that you do. Thank you for always being faithful. Thank you for sweet hour prayer. Thank you, Lord. You're good to me. You're good to all of us. And Lord, help me to appreciate you more. I thought of what Brother Rick said this morning. One of my biggest sins, Lord, is I'm unthankful. I'm not near thankful enough. Oh, God, help me to be more thankful, more appreciative of what you do, how you care for me. Now, Lord, I need you this morning. I can't do this morning without you. I have to have your help. Touch me fresh. Thy Holy Spirit this morning, fill me. Use me for your glory. Father, I pray, as it's been said all week, Lord, as I preach in the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, I pray that these people will listen in the power of the Holy Spirit and then react in the power of the Holy Spirit as well this morning. Help us, I pray. Let the Word of God have free course, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name and amen. Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. Been a great revival, great week this week. And again, I hope that the help that you received, you will not let it lay stagnant. Come back tonight. Maybe we'll give you some encouragement on what to do with the revival. Come back tonight. We'll do our best to help you. We will encourage you tonight if you'll come back. All right? We promise you now. I've done that here lately. All right? I'm a big encourager. All right? Think about that. I was even told this morning that I was extra caring. That's another one, Rebel. I'm extra caring. All right? I don't know what's up with everybody saying things like that, but nevertheless, look in Matthew chapter 23, one verse of Scripture, verse 37, and I want us to listen carefully as we read the Scriptures. It's not a new Scripture, of course. We've used it many times, but let's look here. It says, "Old Jerusalem, Jerusalem," Matthew 23:37, where we're at. "Old Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." Now let's go back. I want to read that again. I want you to get all of it out that we can get out of it. "Old Jerusalem, now we understand now Jesus is speaking here.
Right.
And if we pay attention to where we're at in the timeline, you know he's going to the cross. And he's teaching and he's preaching, trying to get people to come to him and see who he is. He's dealing with scribes and Pharisees who won't believe. He's dealing with disciples who are hard-headed to believe. And though they're listening and saying they believe, they don't. You think about that. He's got disciples that say they believe. Does that sound familiar? He's got disciples that say they believe, yet they don't know who he is. They doubt what he can do. They marvel when he does what he said he's going to do. But yet they say, we believe you can do it all, but maybe you can do that. And we believe you can do this, and you can do that. And that's basically how they live there. And he's getting fought by the scribes and the Pharisees, and he come to a people, come to his people, and they won't take him. You know, the Bible says he coming to his own received him not. And now he looks over the city, and he says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killeth the prophets, and stoneth them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." And ye would not. You think about that. He's been warning them, he's been telling them, and now he just sits down and weeps over them. The Bible says that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So you know what the Bible says? I believe he still weeps over us. I still believe that He looks down upon us, and even in our belief, as the Father told Jesus, said, "I believe, help my unbelief." And even though we have that, and we have doubts, and everybody in here has doubts at times of who God is and what God can do, and even though we're believing Him in one hand, we're disbelieving Him in another. Even though we got confidence in our faith that was preached last night, and right when we have confidence in faith, we're doubting over here in His hand. We're up and down, we're fickle, bipolar in our faith. Huh? Cheryl Ann said the weather was bipolar the other day. It was rain and turned black, and sun come out, and then the rain. And she said then she would be cold. She'd go put on a sweater and come back out all hot. And I said, I didn't think it was the weather that was bipolar. It was Cheryl. But anyway, the problem is we're that fickle. Are we not? We're that way even with the Lord. And here, I want you to look at something very simple this morning, because this is us. It says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stoneth them which are sent unto thee." You understand that we have a willing Savior this morning. All right? Look here, He says, "Which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." If you want a title this morning, it's simply this: "I would, you won't." I would, but you won't. I would, but you won't. And that, this morning, is really our life. He will, but we won't. He will, but we won't. I want you to think about that. When we look at this, the willingness of the Savior, the first thing I see here this morning, and his desire was for the people. Yeah. Is there any question of that? That His desire is for us. The Lord desires us. He desires to be with us. He desires everything about us. He came for us, did He not? And He sent things to help us. He sent prophets to these people. Well, we have the same prophets in our Bible. I mean, we have the recordings of what they said and what they told the people. He sent them prophets, and they killed the prophets. You know, why would you kill the one that was bringing you the message of life and hope and relief? Huh? But they killed the prophets. And then it says here, the ones they didn't kill, they stoned them. They tortured them. They didn't want to hear what they had to say. Can I tell you that they did not want to hear the word of the Lord, though He was willing to give it? Can I tell you this morning that's where we're at? That we don't want to hear the word of the Lord, but He's willing to give it. I see a willingness in our Savior this morning. Think about that. Very willing. And He still says, "And stone of them which are sin." They are sin on a purpose. You know, the Lord does things on a purpose for us this morning. Trying to help us on a purpose. Look down at your life and see everything that He's given you down through your life. The opportunities and the blessings. We sung, "Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me." Everything that the Lord has allowed you to have, He has sent us for our help. And you know, sometimes we still won't take the help. He said, "I would have gathered you. I would have gathered you to me just like a hen would gather a chicken," but you won't. You won't come to me. The other day I was cutting grass, and I don't know, y'all, we call them killdeers, them little birds that's got the long legs around in the fields. And I got them there in behind the house, and I was mowing, and I runned up on one, and you know, they ain't very big, but when she fluffed out, she was that big. And she was on her nest. And she wanted to make sure everything was protected. So I made a wide path around her, wouldn't bother. But every time I'd get close, boy, she'd fluff up to protect me. And how often the Lord wants us to come to Him just like that, and He'll fluff up and be bigger than any problem that comes our way, way bigger than we would normally think He is.
Yes, sir.
Just to protect us. But we would not. That's what He's telling the children of Israel here. You know, He said, you think about what He done, He came Himself. He sent the prophets, they killed them. He sent the prophets, they stoned them. He said, well, I'll go down myself. There's even a parable. He spoke a parable back, if you read in the Gospels, and about how they would send the servants, and they would kill the servants, and send more servants, and kill the servants. And it says, and last of all, he sent his son, and they killed the son. And that's exactly what happens here. They would not heed. Think about that. But I'm thinking about the willingness of the Savior. Look how willing the Lord is. He's always been faithful. He's willing. He's willing. Do you understand? He's willing this morning. He's willing because of His desire for you. He wants you. He wants all of you. He wants your family. He wants your time. He wants your mind. He wants your heart. He wants you. He deserves that.
Yes.
He deserves that. But he does, I can't understand Him desiring me. Huh? That He wants me. I mean, He left heaven. You think about it. He came Himself. He left heaven to come here to be with us.
Yeah.
Do we understand that? He left heaven to come here to be with us.
Right.
He left a perfect place to come to a wicked place. He come where He never ever saw pain, felt pain, endured pain, but put on a robe of flesh to endure pain and feel pain and loneliness and heartache and disappointment, to suffer everything that we suffer and then die for us. But that's willing. Is that not willing? Huh? Now we sing the song. It's a good song, but it ain't right. They didn't have to search through heaven to find the Savior.
That's right. Amen.
They didn't search and say, oh, here's one. We'll send him. They didn't do that. No. Huh? I mean, it sounds good in the song.
Right.
And we'll probably keep singing the song if anybody sings it. That's all right. I ain't banning the song, but... But what I'm telling you this morning is that they didn't have to search when He was willing.
Amen.
See, it was God in the flesh, you understand. It wasn't an angel that come down. It was God in the flesh. The Creator of the universe desired us enough. He was so willing that He would put on a robe of flesh to come down here for me and you. And if we can't get a handle on that, I don't know that we'll ever do anything.
Amen.
To understand the humility of God to put on a robe of flesh and desire us. I mean, you want to understand the love of God? That God would come down to be with us. My goodness. Let alone die. Huh? That He went further and died in our place. Huh? Think about that. But it's not just that. He didn't just come to die, but He came to save. Huh? He desires to save us. Well, let me ask you, do you ever really feel like you're worth saving? Huh? Most of my life, I feel like I'm worth throwing away. Huh? You know, I've fished some in the past, and we go to Meadow River, and we keep some fish out of Meadow River, but a lot of times you catch them old suckers, and we throw the suckers back. Everybody understand that? Keep a bass. So the sucker's back. Well, I'm the sucker. Huh? You sold me back. Huh? I'm not worth that. Think about that. He came to redeem. He didn't just came to save and leave me alone, but He came to redeem me, to make me His own. Do you understand that? The willingness for Him to make you His own.
Right.
That's willing. Is it not? That shows me a side of the Savior that is beyond my comprehension completely.
Right.
That He's willing not just to save me, but to buy me. To make me His own. Now, it would be a good feller just to come by and throw me a life raft and rescue me from perishing. That'd be wonderful. But not to go to the slave market and buy a price that cost him his life that I might have life. That makes no sense to me, but that's the willingness that he had. And he said right here, I would. I would.
Yeah.
I'd have gathered you like a chicken does her hen does her chicks. I would. I'm willing. I would. Huh? Now look on this morning. There's more than that. Not only just to save me and redeem me, to buy me, huh? But to want my fellowship.
Yeah.
Do you understand that the Lord wants your fellowship? He wants to sit down and talk with you.
Right.
He wants to spend eternity with you. He wants to give you everything, be everything. He's willing. He said, I would. That's what he said, I would. Huh? He gives us everything. Everything you have this morning, he give it to you.
Right.
You got money, he give it to you. You got food, he give it to you. You got clothes, he give it to you. You got a job, he give it to you. You got strength to work, he give it to you. You got breath, he give it to you. You got a talent, he give it to you. Well, I learned to sing. No, you didn't. He give you a talent. Well, I learned to play. Well, everybody can't play an instrument. Everybody can't sing. Huh? Everybody can't. But if you can, it's because he give it to you. He give you a mind to reason. He give you an ability to enjoy and to recognize and to see. And I thought of what Doug was talking about the other night about being colorblind. I have no concept of that, how you can not see colors. Well, I love color. I love flowers. Well, Doug wouldn't care about a flower. He couldn't tell if he said they're black and white. I mean, that would... Well, what good would that be? I love the reds, the blues, the greens, and the yellows. I love the flowers. Well, that's all gifts to me. He desires that for me, things like that. But we take all that for granted. He's willing. He will. I will. But there's more than that. There's more than that. He desires my fellowship. He desires to save me, and he wants me. He desires to give me. He desires my fellowship. He desires to protect me.
Yes.
Do you know that he tries his best to protect us? And we still go on. Do you know that? Mm-hmm. He'll try his best to hold our hand and lead us around. And we're determined to break free so we can fall down. Huh? Is that not true? When our children are little, we hold their hand, and they always fight. Why is that? He holds our hand, we're always fighting. Why do we do that? Because as parents, we know the safe place to walk. As parents, we know the right way to go and the direction to go. So we hold on their hand, and they're always fighting it. All right, go. And then they go, oh, I bumped my head, or I stubbed my toe. And they go, why? Did they ever come to you whining like that after you turn them loose? Huh? Is that not the way we do the Lord? Why'd you let me get hurt? Why'd you let this happen? Well, I was willing. We still okay? He's willing to answer prayer. He's willing to answer prayer. I would answer your prayer if you pray. Do you know that? I will answer if you ask. Does the Bible not say, ask and you shall receive? If you ain't received, maybe you ain't asked.
Right.
He says, seek, you shall find. If you ain't found, maybe because you ain't been seeking nothing. Huh? If it ain't been opened up to you, maybe it's because you ain't been knocking. See, it's always, there is something we must do. Now, to be saved, understand this, to be saved, you cannot buy your salvation. That is appropriate, but you must accept it. You must accept it. He ain't going to make us. He said, I will. He said, here I am. How often would I have? Are you listening to me this morning? How often he would? Huh? How often? Not just to answer prayer. Huh? But willing to do everything necessary to make you more like him. We okay with that? Willing. But then there's a catch here. See, I see all the willingness, but then I see something bad here. It says, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings? And you would not. Now that's not a period. If you look there at that scripture, there's an exclamation point. Yeah. I would, but you won't.
Right.
Yeah. I would, but you won't. I will, but you won't. Huh? So that's what we're trying to preach this morning, is I would and you won't. So what I see the willingness of a Savior, but I see the unwillingness of a sinner. The unwillingness of a sinner. You know what the sinner man says? The lost man says, I refuse to heed the warning. I refuse. I don't understand. No, I refuse. I refuse. I had a funeral yesterday and I was able to preach to some of my friends I grew up with yesterday afternoon down at Winona, down at the Kings Creek Church. I had another funeral and as I preached to these men that I was raised up with, that I knew all my life, that I have before school, when we went to Winona School, when I went to Winona School, they was first and second grade in the same room, third and fourth in the same room, and fifth and sixth in the same room. And when I went to, they was five of us in the first grade, and I think they was seven of them in the second grade. All right? That was a big class. All right? And these are the ones I got to preach, some of the ones I got to preach to yesterday. And after the service was over, I gathered them up and I got them, one of them especially, and I told him, I said, when I started preaching, I wrote your name in the back of my Bible. And I have it yet in the back of my Bible. I have names of those that needed to be saved, those that I've loved and tried to win to the Lord down through the years. And here lately, I've got to preach to them, I don't know how many funerals here in just the last couple of years, 10 or so, that they've all been there, and I've got to give them opportunity after opportunity. And then I talked to them one-on-one, and then yesterday, even face-to-face, with my Bible in my hand, face-to-face, and they will hug my neck. They said, we love you, Marcus. But they refused Christ. He would save them. I would. But they refused to heed the warning. They refuse. That's what you do if you're not saved this morning. You said Sunday after Sunday, week after week, month after month, year after year, and don't heed the warning. You would not. I will. I would. But you won't. But you won't. That's what the sinner man said. The sinner man refuses to turn from his evil way. Anybody will take Christ if they can live the same way. Because they just add him onto their life, stick him in their pocket, go on and live like hell. But somewhere you've got to make a decision to turn from the direction you're going to Christ. And the reason you don't is because you refuse. It's not because you can't. because you won't. Think about that. The lost man, the lost woman refuses to bow down. That's what's wrong with the lost man. We're so full of pride. That's what keeps someone from coming forward. It's pride. It's not fear. Oh, we'll call it. I'm not afraid to be in front of people. That's what we'll say. I'm afraid to get up. No, that's not the problem. It's pride. It's pride. If somebody's going to give you $1 million and you had to stand up in front of them and get the check, you'd do it. You'd find some strength there. But it's pride, because God is the only one you got to bow down to. Man ain't going to bow down to man. There's something in him that he won't bow down, around here anyway. We're too proud. We ain't going to bow down to no man. Ain't no man going to tell me what to do. Huh? Isn't that how we are? Now, he asked me, I'll do it. But ain't no man going to tell me what to do. Now, I'm just going to, I'll bow up in the back. Now, he's going to know if I'm coming. Is that not the way it is? And the way we do God. Huh? That's the way a lost man does God. I'm not bowing down. Well, I would that you would come to me. But you would not. It's not that you can't. See, people don't understand that they refuse Jesus. I'm convinced, after listening to preachers and preaching all these years, now I'm going on 40 years now, that people think they're refusing the preacher. Yes. And that's why I don't bother them.
Right.
They think that's good preaching. That's true, preacher. You're probably right. But it's the man that you're refusing. But that's not the way it is, see. See, Jesus, God, he said, I would, but you won't. You're refusing him. People need to understand that they're refusing God.
Right.
They're rejecting God. They're not saved because they're rejecting God. They're not rejecting the church. They're not rejecting the preacher. They're not rejecting the religion. They're rejecting Almighty God. And Jesus said, how often would I, but you won't. How often would I, but you won't. Never turn a sinner away. He said, those who come to me, I will in no wise cast out. Huh? Won't turn you away. How often? I would. But you won't. That's how he does the sinner. But I don't just see the sinner here. I see us here this morning as well. I see the willingness of the Savior, and I see the unwillingness of the sinner, but I see the unwillingness of the saved just the same. Now let's see if we can find maybe something for all here this morning. See, we refuse something. Revival this week has been great.
Yes.
And there was help given every night, but you know, if we didn't take the help that was offered, then it done no good.
Right.
If we didn't apply it to our own heart, it didn't do no good.
Right.
Think about that. But it was there. I would that you would listen, but we don't. We don't. We don't take heed. Now some of us have it. That may not be a general rule for everybody, but it is a commonplace thing. Are we still okay this morning? The unwillingness of the saved. Well, how unwilling are we? Huh? Is Jesus Lord? Is he your Lord? Now, be careful how you answer. He said, for you say, Lord, Lord, but yet do not as I say. See, we're all willing for him to be our Savior. But we think we got to make Him Lord. You don't make Him Lord. He's Lord. He is the Lord God Almighty. But what you do is you refuse Him to be your Lord. You won't let Him be. You rebel. See, I believe this morning that the biggest issue of all the world is that we're living in a state of rebellion. The whole world lies waste and lives in a state of rebellion again, right? Again, is that not true? Look at our governments, not just the United States, look at governments all around. There is no government on the face of the earth that is for God. No government. None. In a state of rebellion. There's no country for God. Huh? United States is far from a country for God. Huh? Of all the countries in the world, huh? The United States is the most selfish country. For we have more than anybody and won't turn loose of none of it. Huh? Are you listening to me this morning? The unwillingness of the saved, we refuse Jesus as Lord. We refuse to follow close. He said, how else would I have you follow me close? Do you follow close? Let me ask you first, or is He really Lord of your life? Is He your master? Do you rise in the morning and say, what do you want me to do today? How can I serve you today? You say, well, I ain't going to say that. Why not? Why not? When you pray of a morning. I mean, because Christians pray every morning. All Christians pray every morning, right? Very first thing we get up, we talk to God immediately, right? I mean, He's our Lord. So we get up and we say, all right, God, how can I serve you today? You are my master. Is He your Lord or not? You tell me. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus Christ, that you'll be saved. Ain't that what the book says? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God is raising from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Is that not what it says? Huh? But you know what we do? We'll confess Him as Savior, but we don't want no master. I ain't no slave. I know. I'm free. I'm. You're not even a respectful child.
Yeah. There you go.
Living in a state of rebellion. Are we living in a state of rebellion? Look at our country. If I had a 25-year-old who went to college, and they was protesting in Washington with them signs like they do, I would drive to Washington and put my child in the car and bring him home and put him in the cellar until things straightened out because they belonged to me. Huh? Whether they and I doubt very seriously if they would like it. You know why? Because they're in a state of rebellion. Huh? But yet, we do the same thing. And what the Lord ought to do to us is just jerk a knot in our neck and throw us in the cellar in the dark and leave us for a while. Huh? Oh, is everybody getting me this morning? He will, but we won't. See, the problem ain't with the Lord. I want everybody to look at me this morning. The problem ain't with the Lord. The problem ain't with the Lord. Ain't nobody any better than the Lord Jesus. Ain't nobody any greater than Jesus Christ. Ain't nobody more loving and giving and caring than the Lord Jesus Christ. Ain't nobody can save like the Lord Jesus Christ. Ain't nobody higher than the Lord Jesus Christ. He would, but we won't. We refuse him as Lord. We refuse to follow close because we're in a state of rebellion. We refuse to obey his word. It's one reason, you know, when my boys was at home, even though they was out of school, they was home, they done what they was told. There was no argument. There was no argument. They was told. They walked away. Now, I couldn't change your heart, but I could change their physical. I could change their flesh because they didn't go and they didn't do some things and go some places. Right? But I couldn't change their heart. See, we can walk the way we're supposed to walk. We'll come to church. We'll carry our Bible. We'll even read of a morning, maybe read at night. We'll walk the right path. But we don't obey. See, you don't obey just in action. You obey from your heart. See, we can rebel, be told to stand in the corner like the little boy. Follow the rules. And then in his heart he says, yeah, but I'm still doing what I wasn't supposed to do in my heart. See, that's rebellion. What I want to understand this morning is everything comes down to he will, but we won't. We've got to choose. We've got to choose. And nobody can choose for you this morning. Nobody can choose for you. We refuse to sacrifice. Has the Lord and his work ever inconvenienced you? Has it ever been an inconvenience to your plan? Are you listening to me? We plan our life and then all of a sudden the Lord interferes. And we won't sacrifice. Because that's not what I want. See, he will. But we won't. Serving the Lord is good as long as I got time. Serving the Lord is good as long as I ain't got something else to do. See, I will. That's what Jesus said. I will. I would. I would. But you won't. Think about it. When I think of the lordship of Christ, it ain't making him Lord, but it's my willing to submit to his lordship. I can't make him anything. I can't make the Lord anything. I can't make him anything. He is everything. But we need to submit to him. See, we're trying to get the world. Let me tell you what we're doing, and I'll quit. We all went to the polls Tuesday. We're trying to make the world a better place to go to hell from. Okay? So we all went and voted so we could have a better place for our people to go to hell from. Because we're living in a state of rebellion. And the only thing that's going to stop that is we quit it. We quit it. Huh? You know, our natural tendency is to be disobedient. Huh? I watched Mackenzie with them little girls. And a while back, it's been a year or so ago, I seen, how can I say this nicely here? I seen them pretty little girls mean as sin. And Mackenzie was having struggles. And then I started seeing a change in them kids. And the other day, I was talking to Mackenzie, and Raylan come up and started talking, and Mackenzie said, "I'm talking." So Ray stands there like this.
Yep.
Looks up at her mom and waits. Don't interrupt no more. Me and Mackenzie finished our conversation. Then she talked with Ray. She went on about her business. But it was obedience. There was no argument. It was just strict obedience.
Yeah.
Now, that didn't happen just because Mackenzie said that.
Right. Yeah.
There were some things that had to happen first. But Ray had to decide to obey. Now, before she decided to obey, things was really rough. At times, it was intense. But the decision still had to be Ray. See, we don't pay attention. We don't watch God. We don't listen to the obedience training. And we don't pay any attention to the whipping. We don't pay any attention to the punishments. But what we decide to do is, nope, I ain't going to do it. The Lord said, "I'm willing, but you won't." That's pretty well the way it is. Pretty well the way it is. We're going to do what we want to do, when we want to do it, and how we want to do it. And I sat there last night and jotted this thought down while Doug was preaching. And he was preaching to me. And I said, "Boy, he will, but I won't. The Lord will, but I won't." So I'm preaching this to me this morning. The Lord will, but I won't. It's not that I can't. You notice he didn't say, "But they can't come to me." He said they won't. They would not. Though many, many people tell. We've had Dennis Legg and Doug Holly and Joe Schaefer and Mike Long and David Nix and Bob DeWitt and Boyd Collins and Dennis Kincaid and Rick Childers and who else have we had? We've had Tony Shirley and Matt McDaniel and we've had preacher, and they've all told us the same thing. And we all said, "You're right, but I ain't going to do it. I ain't going to do it." I hear you. You're right. I hear you. I know. Famous words of every Christian. I know. Famous words of every sinner. Yeah, I know. I know. But I ain't. I ain't. I thought of me this morning. I went to Lowe's a while back. And I had stuff in my hand to pay for. And the only thing they had open was a self-checkout. And I got up there and I looked, and there wasn't nobody around. So I stood there. Finally, somebody came out. I said, can we help? I said, yes, I need somebody to check me out. He said, well, you have self-checkout. I said, no. No, I don't do self-checkout. Well, he said, well, that's all that's open. I said, well, then I won't buy it then. So I went and put it all back on the shelf. I refuse to do self-checkout. I don't care if it saved my life. I refuse to scan it myself. I won't put it in the bag myself. I won't scan it myself. I'll hand in my card and let them put it. I won't even go in and pay for it myself. And you say, well, that's silly, ain't it, Sam? Because that self-checkout there is for my convenience. It's there to help me along, really. It's there so I don't have to get mad at the cashier. Is there no what's there? But I would not. Because that's just the way I am. That's just the way I am. And I'm proud of that. I thank God to harm somebody. So I'm going to suffer. Because I had to put the stuff I needed back on the shelf. Because y'all know I don't shop for just a shop. I had to go in there. I had to have some. Nah, not that day. But so often I come to God and I got to have something and I need it. And He says, all right. And that ain't going to do that. I would. But you won't. I would. But you won't. Father, your word's so simple. But it's so helpful. God, help us to see the places where we say, I won't. You're so willing to give us everything and to do everything and help us along the way, but we refuse over and over and over. Oh, God, I'm sorry this morning for refusing the benefits that you show us. Speak to every heart this morning, saved and unsaved. May we not refuse you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. 200.